I'll make you a promise this evening if you'll make me a promise. I'll preach in a hurry if you'll listen in a hurry. Promise? Good deal? Praise, you've had a great day today. I know I have. I started this morning by doing one of the most favorite things I like to do, playing a round of golf. Brother Ronald and I had a great time, and I appreciate him taking me to play golf. Second thing I got to do, one of my favorite things to do, is go eat. Now, I was asked in lunchroom what position I play in football. I didn't play high school football. My high school didn't have football. But believe it or not, I was a basketball player. Believe it or not, I know you're saying, fat boy, you can't play basketball. But I was a pretty decent player. I'm not bragging on myself, just stating fact, pretty decent player. When that's all you have to do, then you ought to be pretty good at it. My parents weren't well off, and my brother and I had basketballs, and that's what he and I liked to do. And I was fortunate to play with some very good guys. Lost in the state finals the year I was a sophomore. I lost in the semifinals the year I was a junior, should have won it, and did win it the year I was a senior. So I played on some good basketball teams, and our coach, who coached me junior high and high school, when we wasn't playing very good, he told us that we couldn't beat Monell's Rest Home. That was his saying. So the only knowledge I had of anything named Monell was a fictional rest home. But I got news for you. There's a place called Monell's here around the airport, my friends. That's a good place to go. And if you're a good old Southern boy like me, you don't mind bouncing up to that table there and getting some of them vittles they got fixed there. Great time. And I did learn something about your pastor. He can eat. I envy those fellows who eat me under the table, but their physique don't show it. And I promise you, I don't eat as much as you look at me and say, boy, I bet that big old boy can eat. I don't eat as much as you think I'd eat. But I do enjoy good food. I've enjoyed the meals here, and I appreciate you fixing those. And now I get to do the most favorite thing in my life, and that's to sit down at the feet of Jesus and worship the one true and living God. Nothing better, nothing I'd rather do in this life than to be in attendance in a church service where my Lord is exalted, as he was exalted tonight by Brother Parker. I'd like to call your attention to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If I were to give you a test, I told you last night I was a teacher and I love to ask questions and I love to give tests and I love to give you thought-provoking questions. If I were to give you a one-question test tonight, and the question is, why do you attend the church that you attend? I know some of you are not members here. I know Brother Charles, Sister Polly are here. I know they're not members of this church. Brother Dole over here to my right is not a member of this church. Not sure about all of you, but why do you attend the church that you attend? Why are you members of that church? Friends, I pray that you are concerned that when you go into the house of God, that you hear the truth as it is written here in this word. That is first and foremost, my friends. He says where there is no vision. And what he's talking about here is where there's no revelation of God, where there's no true preaching. And I tell you, there's so many churches today, they don't have preaching, friends. They have a motivational speaker standing up here. And I'm not here about motivation, my friends. I'm here to tell you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to tell you what he's done for you here in this life. And that, friends, what he did for you is eternal, my friends, and it's never going to perish from you. And when, friends, when you have sound teaching and sound preaching, my friends, you've got something. And I know that when your pastor stands here, I know what you hear. I've heard him many times in my life, my friends, and I know God has called him into the ministry. He is a God-called minister. He's not a man-made minister, my friends. He's a God-called minister. Now, I've heard many preachers say about sad things that's written in the Bible. And I've heard Elder Ricky Harcrow from Alabama say one of the saddest verses he knows in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, where it says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's a sad verse. That Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. I heard Elder Ron Lawrence down in Southwest Mississippi one time say that one of the saddest verses he knows, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, I believe it is, says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." What a sad verse. What a sad verse. I read 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. David says, "Although my house be not so with God." That is a sad verse, my friends. That is sad. But you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read you a sad verse that I find in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it goes along with what I'm going to try to speak on tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's in my Bible, I promise you. 1 Samuel chapter 3. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Friends, the Lord had taken away his presence. There was no open vision. Friends, when I go into the house of the Lord, I want to hear a man that's anointed of God speak the truth. I want to hear things that God has revealed unto him, not what some man has taught him. And you know, I've heard people say, when you preach a sermon, you need to have exactly 3 points. Well, if God gives you 3 points, you go with the 3 points. If he gives you 15, you go with the 15. If he gives you 1, you go with the 1. You see, it's not what man says, it's what God says. And friends, we need to be very concerned in these days that when we go into the house of the Lord, we don't have itching ears. I tell you, friends, I'm not worried about hearing the things I want to hear that's going to make me feel better about myself. But I tell you, when the truth is preached, I promise you, I will go away rejoicing, and I will glory in the Lord, Brother Dan. I will glorify the Lord, my friends, when I realize everything he's done for me. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, this is what he said. I believe it's verse 1. He says, "But teach thou the things that become sound doctrine." You know what he's saying right there, friends? He is not telling Titus there that when you speak it, it now becomes a truth. What he's saying is that you teach those things become sound doctrine. It's in harmony with sound teaching. That's what he's saying. You teach those things that are sound, my friends. You teach those things, Titus, that will be backed up with "Thus saith the Lord." That's what this word says. Now, let's see a couple of those things here this evening. Is Jesus the Savior or not? Just think about it. That's what his name means. My favorite scripture in the Bible, according to my wife, is Matthew 1 and 21. The Bible says 3 things in this verse. "For she shall bring forth a son." How many of y'all believe that Mary brought forth a son? How many of y'all believe that tonight? I sure do. And I don't believe Joseph was his father. This is what it says. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior." How many believe that tonight? You believe it? I'm going to tell you, I believe it. Let me tell you something else. I'm going with the next part too and tell you, I'm going to tell you I believe it before I say it. How does that sound? "For he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. Amen. Now, I've been in other churches, other denominations, where they sing a song, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." But you know what they need to do? They need to add a qualifying statement to that, "if you let him." That song doesn't say "if you let him." It says, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Now, friends, let me tell you, Jesus is the Savior. You know, that's what the definition of a Savior is, my friends. It's one who saves. And either he did save or he didn't. Friends, I want to tell you about a Savior that saved. He saved his people from their sins. Oh, friends, When you hear that, my friends, you know what you can do? You can go home glorifying the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord that He saved you from your sins. Now let me ask you another question. Did He pay the debt for your sins? Did He pay the full price for your sins? Or did He just do like we do sometimes and put down a down payment? And now He's paying some notes on them. And He's hoping you'll pay some of them, so He won't have to pay them all. Well, friends, we have a song in our book down home that says, Jesus paid it all to Him owe. If I don't believe that song, I don't need to sing it. Did Jesus pay it all or not? Jesus paid it all. You know why? Because we couldn't pay. We had nothing to pay with. Do you understand that you may have millions of dollars in the bank here, in the biggest bank in Nashville? I don't know. But if you can't cover your bills, you know what? You're poor. You know that. You may say, Brother Ricky, I'm rich. I got all kind of money in the bank. But if your bills are greater than what you got, you're poor. Well, see, we couldn't pay our bill. But well, let me tell you, Jesus paid it. Jesus paid for our sins. And you know what He paid for it with? You know what He paid for it with? His blood. His blood. Acts 20:28 says, which He purchased with His own blood. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You ever heard that song sung before? Did He redeem us or not? Did He pay for us or not? Friends, I tell you, He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He paid the full price, my friends. And there's nothing you owe other than your obedience to Him. You owe your obedience to Him. You owe the glory to the Lord. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I believe it's around verse 8. It says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Y'all know what that's talking about? I believe it's talking about in Moses' day, where Moses was given two silver trumpets, and they were to be blown in a certain manner to mean a certain thing. That's what I think. I told you last night that I was a school teacher, retired school teacher, 29 years worth. I've been teaching the school I taught at for 23 years for quite a while, and a young coach, his room was straight across from mine. And we had different signals on our bell that meant certain things. One was for a tornado drill. One was for an earthquake drill. One was for a fire drill. One was for a bomb evacuation. But one day, the bell went berserk. It just went plumb berserk. And you know what? Old veteran teacher, Brother Ricky, knew exactly what was taking place. Nothing, except the bell went berserk. This young teacher come flying across the room, the hall, come and just swung my door open and said, Coach Myers, what does that mean? I said, the Lord is coming back. You see, we had certain sounds, and when that certain sound was not given, there was an uncertain sound there. He didn't know what to do. And friends, there's so many uncertain sounds out there today. Do you understand when the certain sound, when that trumpet gives that certain sound, do you understand it? Can you hear it and know what it means? Do you? When your pastor stands up here and he preaches, does he give that certain sound? If I told you tonight that salvation was by works, would you know, wait now, Brother Ricky, that's not what this says. Salvation is not by works. We were sitting at the supper table tonight, and we were talking about a particular group who believes that if you're not a member of their denomination and you have not been baptized in their church, that you're hell bound. Do you know what God's word says about that? Will God's word bear that out? Revelation 5:9, I think, says that God has redeemed a people out of every nation. Out of every nation. Out of every tongue and every people. And I'm not getting that right. I probably need to turn around and read that. But I hope I'm not doing any harm. You see, Christ died for his people. He died for every one of his people. Brother Dan quoted John 17, verse 2. And I give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Jesus speaking himself. How many had eternal life? As many as the Father gave the Son. And you know what as many as means? Do you know what it means? Equals. So all the Father gave him equals all the ones that Jesus Christ gave eternal life to. Amen? Amen. That's what it means. That's simple Mississippi talk right there, folks. That's as plain as it gets. Where there is no vision, the people perish. How many people today in this world are naturally hungry? How many people go to bed at night in our world naturally hungry? I think there's quite a few in our world. Now, I don't want you to get anything wrong about me. I don't mind helping those who need help abroad. But I believe we got enough problems here in the United States that we need to take care of our folks first. And I promise you, friends, there are some people who are going to bed tonight hungry. I don't know what that feels like. I don't think I've ever been to bed in my life hungry. If it was, it was my own fault. It wasn't because there wasn't food on the table. But I want to ask you this question. How many people go home? They may go to a worship service and go home, and they are still hungry spiritually. They're still hungry. They're not being fed. I heard of a minister, I won't call him by name, because I think this is recorded. Won't call him by name, but he's a well-known speaker. Let me put it that way. And he said that his call to the ministry was not to preach Jesus. It was to encourage people in this life. What better encouraging words can I tell you tonight than Jesus? What better words can I tell you than Jesus? Let me tell you what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said about his preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what Paul said. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He's trying to tell you he's not speaking with a silver tongue. Hey, I didn't come with you of excellency of speech. I don't either. I was a teacher, but I wasn't an English teacher. So don't get on to me about my language, because I didn't teach English. My sister does it that enough. She's a member of one of the churches I pastor, and my older sister, she's a retired English teacher, and she tells me enough about my poor English. But Paul said he didn't come with excellency of speech. He didn't come with wisdom. You know what he's talking about? He didn't come with the wisdom of man. I tell you, Paul had wisdom. I tell you, Paul had wisdom. But it wasn't taught of man, it was taught of God. And here's what he says. Says, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What did Paul preach? How many of you come tonight to hear a preacher make you feel good about yourself? Just to give you a little motivational speak so tomorrow you'll make your day. I don't come to be motivated. Oh, friends, I come to hear about my Savior. I want to hear Jesus, and I want to hear him crucified. You know, Brother Parker talked a lot tonight about that crucifixion, about it being foolishness to some people. Jesus Christ crucified being foolishness. Is it foolishness to you? You know what? It's not foolishness to me. Jesus Christ was crucified. And when he hung on the cross of Calvary, he wasn't there wringing his hands and going, "Boy, I hope this amounts to something. I hope that those stiff-necked people will accept me as their Savior, and this work that I've done won't be for naught." Friends, he came to do the will of the Father. And he came to seek and to save them that were lost. And I'll tell you, friends, in my book, you either got to say yay or nay. It ain't no maybe. It's either yes, he did, or no, he didn't. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say yes, he did. He saved his people on the cross of Calvary. And let me tell you something else. It took a little bit more to make sure that was secure. And that's when he was risen from that grave. That God accepted that sacrifice. And that he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. You see? Friends, when you come to the church house, you ought to pray that God anoints the minister. You open. There's a song I like in our book. I don't know if it's in this book or not. But it starts off as, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" Is that in the book, Brother Ron? Did you pray? Have you prayed today? I'm not asking for a show of hands. But have you prayed today? Have you prayed for yourself? See, you need to pray for yourself. I'm going to tell you last night, when you come to the worship service, you need to pray for yourself. The Lord will grant you alertness. He will grant you wisdom. He will grant you the ability to hear and the attendance. Hey, you know, I know we get tired. We have physical bodies and we get tired. I'm a preacher's son. I know all about being tired. I know all about it. I went down to a meeting in Florida one time, and my daddy was a 12th preacher of 12. One service. Hello? And you know, I want you to listen to this. I'm chasing a rabbit here. I was in the amen corner sitting with my dad. I was the only one that went with him. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I sat with my dad. And if my dad ever preached in his life for 10 minutes, my dad shelled the corn. Y'all ever heard that expression? My dad shelled the corn. One dear old sister came through the handshake. She said, "Brother Meyer," said, "I assume you don't read your Bible." Kind of caught my dad aback a little bit. And I was anxious to see what he's going to say. He said, "Sister, what do you mean?" She said, "The Bible says, quench not the spirit. And you did." And he said, "Ma'am," he said, "I'd rather quit when the congregation's praying for me to continue than to continue when they're praying for me to quit." I heard it. But are you praying that the Lord will anoint the preacher, that he will preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? Do you go to church to hear just a motivational speech, or do you hear to hear the word of God? I told you last night, the truth is offensive sometimes, my friends. But you know what? I still want to hear it. I still want to hear the truth. I don't want it watered down. Oh, if you don't walk up to me tonight and say, "You're a big old Mississippi fat boy," come on and tell me. I know it already. If you don't tell me I'm ugly, that's fine too. I know that too. At least my wife thinks I'm good looking, and my mama does too. My mama tells me I'm a handsome man. And my wife does. And she loves me in spite of if I am ugly, she still loves me. So there you go. But where there is no vision, will people perish. Friends, we need to be praying for laborers. When Brother Ronald asked me to come to this meeting, I had all intentions of staying through Sunday. But I've got to get back home. The little church I pastor down in Brookhaven, Mississippi, I cannot find anyone to fill in. And let me tell you something. We've been blessed down in Southwest Mississippi to ordain quite a few ministers. But you know what? They're all hooked up. That's a good thing. I'm not complaining. But you know, we got churches down home without pastors. We got churches who are struggling because they don't have a pastor. And friends, I got news for you. I'd be safe to say, as large a congregation we have here, there's someone here on the sound of my voice that takes their pastor for granted. Friends, that's what happened here to Israel. There was no open vision. You know why? Because Israel was a stiff-necked and rough people. They were not being obedient to what God would have them to do. And you know what he did? He took away their preaching. I don't know about you, but I feel I'm on the back side of my life. I'm headed down this way. You may not be. I know there's some young children here that you're definitely not. Some of us, it's a little older. We feel like we're going down the backside. But you know what? I have three precious daughters back home that I love dearly. And my prayer is that Antioch Primitive Baptist Church, where my membership's been since I was 13 years old and I joined the church, that when I'm dead and gone, there is a minister who will stand there and preach to them and proclaim God's word as it's written right here in this book. I want that vision to continue. I want that revelation of God to continue. Because I tell you, friends, Brother Dan said it tonight. I'm sure Brother Ronald said it many times. He's preached all over the United States and Arkansas. That without God, a man cannot preach. See, that's what happened right here. That's what happened in 1 Samuel. There was no open vision. God was not blessing them with revelation to preach. And you know what happens when there is no vision? The people perish. The people perish. I don't want to perish for the lack of natural food. Now, I don't want to perish for the lack of spiritual food. Friends, I tell you, you know one of the main things I like about Old Baptist? There's a lot of things I like. But you know what I like about Old Baptist? How many preachers are here tonight? How many preachers are here tonight? Brother Charles, wherever he's sitting, where is Brother Charles? There he is. I thought you were sitting over here. That's why I couldn't find you. Look at the wrong side. There's Brother Doyle sitting over here. Old Baptist preachers like to hear preaching. You know why? It stirs their mind up. It stirs their mind. Let me give you some advice. I'm going to tell you something here. I told you I'd preach quickly, and I'm going to live to my word. I now work at an industrial repair place. Got a good job. Work from 7:30 to 4 o'clock. But after I retired teaching, I got a job selling automobiles. My family is well known, as Brother Ron will tell you, Brother Dan will tell you, down home, my family is well known. My brother and I and my sisters and my dad and my mom and my wife and my brother's wife, which passed away, and my brother's daughter teach at all the schools in the county. So we know people from all over the county. So they wanted me to sell cars because I know so many people. I got very frustrated about selling cars because of the time that I had to spend. And the time that I had to spend at work was time that I couldn't be reading this. See, friends, I wasn't paid to read my Bible. I was paid to sell vehicles. That was my job. I was telling Elder James Conley from down home about this. And I was very frustrated. He said, Brother Ricky, let me tell you this. And I'm going to tell you this because it helped me and maybe it'll help you. Times that you're at work and you can't read God's word, you know what you can do? You can meditate on God's word. You can still be spending time in God's word. And let me tell you something. The more you think about a verse and the more you think about it and the more you think about it and the more you think about it and the more you think about it, God may reveal you something. He may reveal something to you, what that's talking about. And friends, I tell you what I've found a lot in my life is when I read and study God's word and I go off to a meeting and I'm having trouble understanding something, it seems like every time I ever go, that's what the preacher preaches on. You ever been in that situation? You see, friends, we need to hear outstanding preaching, not watered down motivational speaking, but heaven sent, Holy Ghost filled, good old gospel preaching. That's what we need to hear. You know, I could tell you a lot of things that make you feel a lot better. Oh, I can stroke your ego a little bit. But I tell you what motivates me is when I hear outstanding preaching. I told you last night, I heard 6 sermons on the way up here. You know how many of them were duds? None. You know why? I'm smart enough not to play the duds I got. I want to play the good ones I got. And let me go ahead and tell you, I just recently got a new cell phone, and they wanted me to give my old cell phone back, and they were going to give me $40 for it. And I thought, No. It's an iPhone. I can put my sermons on my iPhone. I can use it for what you call an iPod. And you know what I've already done? I did it this morning when I woke up. I already made me a list of sermons I'm going to listen to on the way home. If you don't believe it, come to Brother Ronald's house, and I will show you the playlist entitled Journey Home. That's what I entitled. Because tomorrow, I'll be journeying home. But you know what? I'm looking for a day that I journey to my real home. And that home is a place called heaven. See, Brother Dan thinks he lives in heaven. He doesn't live in Southwest Mississippi. That's heaven, friends. That's God's country down in Southwest Mississippi. The only thing I don't like about Southwest Mississippi is the heat and humidity in the summer. But the rest of it I love. But no, I'm talking about that place called heaven. And you see, friends, there is a place called heaven. And you know it's reserved. It's reserved for some people. You know that? You know who it's reserved for? Every single one of God's children. And you know how many God's children are going to be left behind? None. Not a one, my friends. I believe with all my heart that somewhere between conception and death, God borns every single one of his children again of his spirit. And I believe I can show you in God's word where John the Baptist was born again in his mother's belly. And I can show you where a man was born again hanging on a cross beside the Savior. Because he sure had a change of heart, didn't he? You remember what that man said? He was gnashing on the Lord with his teeth, wasn't he? And telling him, if you're who you say you are, get yourself down and us too. But then he had a little change of heart, did he not? And then what did he say? He said, when thou enterest into thy kingdom, Lord, remember me. This man's dying. What kind of kingdom is he entering? He's dying. He's going to the grave. But friends, that man was revealed something too on his dying bed, if you will. Friends, where there is no vision, the people perish. I pray that in my lifetime and in your lifetime and as long as this world goes on, that the people will not perish because there is no vision. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.